Adharam Mahadadinam. Adharam Mahadadinam. Kadhana Purusheshvaram. Kadhana Purusheshvaram. Brahmadara Yamanasya. Brahmadara Namanasya. Trayalokaschakampire. Trayalokaschakampire. Adharam Mahadadinam. Kadhana Purusheshvaram. Brahmadara Yamanasya. Trayalokaschakampire. Adharam Mahadadinam. Padhana Purusheshvaram. Brahmadara Yamanasya. Trayalokaschakampire. Adharam, repose. Mahadadinam, of the material sum total known as the Mahatattva. Pradhana, the chief. Purusha Ishvaram, master of all living entities. Brahma, the supreme Brahman. The personality of Godhead. Dharayamanasya. Having taken into the heart. Traya. The three planetary systems. Loka. All the planets. Chakampire. Began to tremble. So before we read the translation for today, I'm going to go through the verses leading up to today since the last class on Saturday. Verse 73. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days, and for his eatables he took dry grass and leaves. Thus he continued his worship. In the third, text 74, in the third month he drank water only every 9 days. Thus he remained completely in trance and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by selected verses. Text 75. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled air only every 12th day. Stop eating and drinking completely. He inhaled air only every 12th day. In this way, he became completely fixed in his position and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 76. By the fifth month, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on only one leg, just as a column stands without motion, and concentrate his mind fully on the Parabrahman. Text 77, he completely controlled his senses and their objects. In this way he fixed his mind, without diversion to anything else, upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's a short purport to that verse before we have today's verse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yogic principles of meditation are clearly explained here. One has to fix one's mind upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without diversion to any other objective. It is not that one can meditate or concentrate on an impersonal objective. To try to do so is simply a waste of time, for it is unnecessarily troublesome, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. There's quite a bit of something. Reverberation, echo. Am I speaking too close? Okay, that's it, as long as they can hear me. Today's verse and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Please repeat. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation, and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Purport. In this verse, the particular word Brahma is very significant. Brahman refers to one who not only is the greatest, but has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. How is it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? This question has been very nicely answered by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of Brahman. For since he comprises everything material and spiritual, there cannot be anything greater than he. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the Supreme Godhead says, quote, I am the resting place of Brahman, end quote. Many persons, especially the Mayavadi philosophers, consider Brahman the greatest, all-expanding substance. But according to this verse and other Vedic literatures, such as Bhagavad Gita, the resting place of Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the resting place of the sunshine is the sun globe. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore says that since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, he is the Supreme Brahman. Since the Supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, he became heavier than the heaviest. And therefore, everything trembled in all the three worlds and in the spiritual world. I'll repeat that. And therefore, everything trembled in all the three worlds and in the spiritual world. The Mahatattva, or the sum total of the material creation, is to be understood to be the ultimate end of all the universes, including all the living entities therein. Brahman is the resort of the Mahatattva, which includes all material and spiritual entities. It is described in this connection that the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, is the master of both Pradhan and Purusha. Pradhan means subtle matter, such as ether. Purusha means the spiritual spark living entities who are entangled in that subtle material existence. These may also be described as para prakriti and apara prakriti, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, being the controller of both the prakritis, is thus the master of Pradhan and Purusha. In the Vedic hymns, also the Supreme Brahman is described as Anta Pravishta Shasta. This indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling everything and entering into everything. The Brahma Samhita 5.35 further confirms this. Andantarasta Paramanuchayantarasta. He has entered not only the universes, but even the atom. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna also says, Vishtabhayam idam kritsnam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls everything by entering into everything. By associating constantly with the Supreme Personality in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj naturally became equal to the greatest, Brahman, by his association, and thus became the heaviest, and the entire universe trembled. In conclusion, a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. This is the perfection of yoga performance, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis, the bhakti yogi, who thinks of Krishna always within his heart and engages in his loving transcendental service, is the topmost. Ordinary yogis can exhibit wonderful material activities, known as ashta siddhi, eight kinds of yoga perfection. But a pure devotee of the Lord can surpass these perfections by performing activities which can make the whole universe tremble. Adhara adharam mahat adinam pradhana purusheshwaram ramadharayamanasya trayolokash chakam pire. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Mukam kroti vachalam pangam langayate girim yakripatamaham vande shri guram dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross over mountains, and a dumb man can compose eloquent poetry. So, this was a self-imposed intensive bhakti program. I think it was about 6 months long. Dhruva Maharaj achieved perfection very, very quickly. Now, we can compare ourselves in some ways to Dhruva Maharaj. We, if we're honest, we can admit, at least most of us, at least have some material motivation. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj's material motivation was very big. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. So maybe our material motivation, our material desire is not that big. But if we're honest, we can admit. So we may not follow the same process as Dhruva Maharaj did, because we have the Sankirtan Yajna, the Yuga Dharma. But in essence, it's the same. We are simultaneously developing our personal self-realization, Krishna consciousness, and we are on parallel track working to spread that, to share that with others, to transform the world, to spiritualize the world with the revolution in consciousness. And the revolution in consciousness starts with ourselves. Dhruva Maharaj is having a revolution in consciousness by his practice, his whole, and ultimately when Lord Vishnu gives him the greatest benediction, well, he offers him the fulfillment of his so-called, his material desire to have the Dhruva Loka, the pole star, which is similar to Sweta Dweep and is not annihilated except in the intermediary destructions during the nighttime of Brahma, for example, until the end of the life of Brahma. It maintains, it continues undestroyed when all the other planets are destroyed. He said, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but he said, I was looking for a piece of broken glass, and yet now I have obtained the greatest jewel. He said he didn't even want to have his wish, his original wish, fulfilled. He said, I'm so completely satisfied that I don't want to ask anything from you. So that will be the result if we're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Asochati na kankshati. We will not lament or desire to have anything. We'll be prasanatma. We'll be joyful. Let's go back to the question, because Srila Prabhupada asks a question, and this is my question for you. How was it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? By constant meditation on Krishna, the Supreme Brahman. Any other ideas? By the mercy of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Yes? You wanted to say something? Same. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Any other ideas? Yes, Maharaji. Cleanse desire. Intense desire. Prabhu? He's simple. He's simple, he becomes simple. Yes. 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 Fixed on his mother. Yes. His mother was his first guru. Parents are the first gurus. That's very important for all of us grihasthas to understand. I have a little grandson in New Zealand. He'll be two in December. And it's very hard for me to be here because he's over there. So I'm remembering to help his father so we can be the best first gurus. His name is Manu, and he's a charmer. He has me in the palm of his hand. just like Dhruva Maharaj had Krishna in the palm of his hand. So, yes, so Prabhupada uses the, it's quite a long purport, and Prabhupada uses, first of all, he quotes how Jiva Goswami starts to answer the question by establishing Krishna's position, that the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, think that ultimate, that the Brahman is everything, and that's it. But Krishna establishes himself, and Srila Jiva Goswami establishes that Krishna is the reposing, the resting place of that Brahman. Therefore, he's the supreme Brahman, Param Brahman. But in the word meanings, Prabhupada translates Brahma, the word Brahma, as the supreme Brahman, the personality of God. He translates Brahman as the supreme personality. So someone else might translate it differently, but because Prabhupada understands the essence and is fixed on Krishna himself, he gives us the full meaning, the ultimate meaning of Brahman. So yes, Brahman is everything, but Krishna is the resting place of everything. So Prabhupada expands on the explanation of Jiva Goswami quite extensively in the purport, how Krishna is the Brahman. He is complete. He is the supreme Brahman because he comprises everything, material and spiritual, and that, therefore nothing can be greater than him. And he is complete. He is ever expanding. He has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. Several reasons or explanations why Krishna is the supreme Brahman and how he is the supreme Brahman. All right? Later. And then Prabhupada further goes in the explanation of the Mahatattva, the sum total of the material creation, and how Brahman is the resort of that Mahatattva and includes the material and spiritual entities, the Pradhan and the Purusha. And concludes by saying that by associating constantly with the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Brahman in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj naturally became equal to the greatest Brahman by his association, and thus became the heaviest, and the entire universe trembled. So we don't usually hear this kind of philosophy in Prabhupada's books, that the jiva, in this case Dhruva Maharaj, becomes equal to the Supreme Brahman. I don't know if I've ever read that. Maybe it's just my memory, but it's interesting because, of course, Prabhupada says, he explains very clearly, yes, we are God. The Mayavadis have it right in that sense. We're God in quality, but not in quantity. And yet here, it's indicating that, not Prabhupada doesn't say it exactly, but that Dhruva Maharaj almost becomes equal to Krishna in quantity. So, in that sense, I mean, equal to doesn't necessarily mean the same. There's a slight subtle distinction there. Equal to something doesn't mean it's necessarily the same, at least in the spiritual context. It can be the same and different. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee, the spiritual master, is described as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. And, as we sing every morning, Shakshadhari Trena Shamatha Shastraya Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sad Kintu Praborja Priya Eva Tasya Bande Garoshi Charanaravindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because of his being the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and is followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. So, Dhruva Maharaj is manifesting that in full. He has become, and it doesn't go, we haven't heard yet about the consciousness so much, or the symptoms, or the connection in detail of Dhruva Maharaj with the Supreme Lord. But in subsequent verses, we'll hear how he describes himself as, I have become mad after hearing your transcendental, when he offers his prayers to Lord Vishnu, after Lord Vishnu appears to him, being pleased by his service and by his complete, unalloyed, undeviating focus on meditation and service to the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj says, I have become mad, mata, after relishing hearing about you. So that's what's going on within Dhruva Maharaj, although that hasn't been described yet. So, and Prabhupada describes also that the devotee, I mean the Mayavadis, Prabhupada was talking about Mother Yashoda, and he's talking about in relation to the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they want to become God. But the devotees, they become greater than God. He's talking about how Mother, in the Damodar pastime, we know Mother Yashoda took up the stick and Krishna ran away from her out of fear. She's become greater. She's controlling God. So devotees, that we desire to become greater than Krishna, the devotee becomes more and more humble and more the servant of the servant of the servant of the other devotees. That's the real symptom. And Krishna says, yes, the person who's in that mentality, he's actually my servant. But that love, that devotion, that dedication is so attractive to Krishna. And that's embodied in Srimati Radharani. When the gopis were searching for Krishna after he disappeared from the rasa dance, you may know this, they couldn't find Krishna, and Krishna took the form of Narayan, right? He was playing with them a little bit. And they saw Lord Narayan. Oh, Lord Narayan, please accept our respectful obeisances. Have you seen Krishna? They weren't very interested in Krishna, in Lord Narayan, although they offered their respect. Where did he go? We're looking for Krishna. And they went on. And then Radharani came. So Radharani came. And because it's described that Radharani's love is so intense for Krishna, Krishna could not maintain that Vishnu form. He had to go back to his original two-arm form because of her attraction, her devotion, her love. He's just controlled, but he's melted by that. So that, even though one becomes more and more humble, not even though, but because one becomes more and more humble, more and more devoted, more and more interested in just pleasing Krishna's servants of Krishna, Krishna is controlled by that. And he becomes the servant of such a devotee. So Krishna is controlled by that. So Krishna has become controlled. Krishna is the Supreme Brahman who controls everything else, became controlled by the devotion and commitment and dedication, complete, unalloyed, undeviating focus and attention of Dhruva Maharaj. So that Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna's there already, but Krishna manifested himself as the Supreme Brahman. So much so that Dhruva Maharaj was causing the trembling. So then we can get into the discussion of how is it that the devotee is manifesting Krishna's potency, but he's also individually manifesting the potency. It's a whole very subtle discussion. And then it may be into the discussion of how surrender and individuality can be resolved. Because sometimes we think, oh, surrender means I give up my own ideas, I give up my own individuality, I give up my own freedom. But look at the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was so individual. He was manifest. His own character, his own individuality was so manifest. And he was making decisions. He was completely sold out to Krishna. But he didn't stop thinking. He didn't stop using his intent. In fact, when Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada, how will we carry on after you leave? One of the things Prabhupada said, he said, use your intelligence. He did say it another time, don't be too intelligent, but applied intelligence. He said a few other things. But that he said that. So that's a whole other realm of discussion. We don't give up our spiritual individuality. In fact, we develop it. Ultimately, we have to fly our own airplane, Prabhupada said. Does that mean we minimize association? Does that mean we minimize guidance or service to advanced devotees or taking their help, their guidance, their example? No, not at all. On the contrary. But it's an interesting, more subtle discussion. So, Dhruva Maharaj was apparently able to give up all his materialistic tendencies, his material desires, and including that powerful, strong, huge desire to become practically master of the universe. Out of his anger at his stepmother, and being prohibited by her from sitting on his father's lap. He gave that all up. And it seems quite easy. I mean, in Dhruva Maharaj's case. So in that sense, we may be very different from Dhruva Maharaj. We may have anartas, material desires, which are not just going away so easily. Now the process, if we were following it as perfectly, our own sadhana process, according to Prabhupada's instructions, and our deepening engagement in the Sankirtan movement, whatever part we're playing. Yes, but sometimes, my experience anyway, is that anartas are not just going away. I think Prabhupada said, yes, the process is simple, but it's not necessarily easy. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, at least I can speak for myself, I tend to be very complicated. So Prabhupada said it's simple for the simple-minded and complicated or difficult for the crooked-minded. So when I look at my mind, I have to admit, it's pretty crooked. And I find that kind of honesty helps me very much, because then I can become very honest and real about where I am right now, and start looking at the anartas, which are not just going away. And I'm thinking, well, if they're not going away, and Krishna's, I'm chanting my rounds and Krishna's showing them to me, or I'm dealing with other devotees and I get angry, or some lusty desires come up, or I feel rebellious, or I feel stubborn, or I feel like I want to be on my own. So many things come up. What do I do with that? We pray. We try to offer that to Krishna. Please purify this. Allow me to understand my position and how I can be best situated in devotional service. As Prabhupada talks in the Gajendra purports, even a sannyasi who falls down, he may re-enter grihastha life. And Prabhupada says there, one has to be sensually, physically, mentally, intellectually and spiritually strong in order to be well, properly situated, in order to fight Maya. We have to find out. If we're not properly situated, it will be very hard to defend ourselves against the attack of that crocodile of Maya. We have to be strong to fight Maya, so we have to be properly situated. So that requires very expert guidance and association from those who are doing that already. And still an artist may be there. So maybe Krishna is saying, all right, there's something here that you've not dealt with. I know he's saying this to me. That, okay, you have these lusty desires, or you have these material aspirations, or you have some independent spirit, whatever. So how are you going to deal with that? What are you going to do about that? It's not just going away. You're chanting and chanting and chanting, and still you're going home and shouting at your wife. Or kicking the cat. Or you're not giving as much attention and understanding to your disciples, or your God brothers or God sisters, fellow devotees. So that anartha, those anartha, we're going to the stage of anartha nirviti. So we need to look at those anarthas and get them resolved. And that takes a lot of introspection. How to deal with the tricks of the mind. And anarthas are often unknown. Why am I stuck in my devotional service? I'm not just sailing through as I think I should be. I'm not having the experience that's being described here in the fourth canto of Dhruva Maharaj practically almost sailing through. What's missing? What's wrong? What am I not doing? Because Prabhupada said, if you're applying the instructions that I'm giving you, you will be happy. So maybe we need to look at the motivation. It's very easy to come to Krishna consciousness, but it's not necessarily so easy to purify those motivations. So to become conscious, to look inside and become, if we're not just sailing through, and if we're expert enough, we will be. But if we're not, and I think some of you understand what I mean, that there are some difficulties, there's some blocks, there's some obstacles, there's some places where I'm stuck. It's not just clicking my fingers and chanting offenseless rounds every day. I'm not finding that I'm able to do that so easily. So we take association, we take guidance, we pray, we practice more. And we also ask Krishna, please show me. What do you want me to learn? How do I take this? How do I understand what the anartha is, first of all? And then how do I take it and engage it in your service? Purify it. Use it. So I've gone over time already. There was a lot more to say, but I want to be careful about respecting everyone's service. So if there's any questions or comments, we can do that briefly now. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Well, I'll start by saying, did everyone hear the question? How can we use, or what anarthas can we use? Yes, of what anarthas or how anarthas can be used in Krishna's service. And I'll start by saying that Prabhupada, he says that we're not like the Mayavadis. We're not denying the anarthas. We're not denying the lust, the anger, the greed. We're engaging those energies. Because lust, for example, lust is a perverted reflection of love for Krishna. We don't want to deny that energy. We don't want to block the natural flow of that. We do want to channel it, and obviously we have to be very careful about this. It has to be done under proper guidance. But lust can be used to become greedy to become passionate in spreading Krishna consciousness. Mother Jadarani was an artist, and Prabhupada just encouraged her encouraged to paint. According to your propensity, you should learn to use that propensity and give all your energy. Otherwise, it's going to come out some other way. It will be a disturbance. If you don't use that energy, which may be disturbing you now, it will continue to disturb you. You have Hrishikesh, Hrishikena. We use our senses in the service of the master of the senses. We use the energy that is originally coming from the soul in the service of the Lord. Then it becomes purified. So for a brahmachari, for example, who's not able to overcome sex desire, Prabhupada said, well, then you become married and you use that energy in creating Krishna conscious family, children. Passion can be used in spreading this movement. We don't describe Prabhupada as passionate, but in another sense he had a passion to spread Krishna consciousness. That was his whole being, to give us Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness. So that's the perfection of using that energy. So anger. Prabhupada was also angry sometimes. So it's a very sensitive, difficult subject. But you learn to not block your anger, but channel it and use it ultimately in Krishna service. Now that also has to be done in very careful guidance. You can't just go and vent your anger at anybody at any time, because Atmananda Prabhu said you should do that in class. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that instead of trying to block the things down, shut them down, suppress them down, avoid them, deny them, pretend that they're not there, which is actually destructive, because it will out. It won't go away. That energy will manifest. Rather, learn, find out from someone who's expert and qualified and who's doing it already to channel that powerful energy in Krishna service. So those are two, maybe three examples. Does that help at all? Envy, yeah. Envy's a tough one. That's a tough one. I suppose you can learn how to be jealous in a healthy way of the devotees who are more advanced. Let me try to be like them. If there's any such thing as healthy envy or jealousy, maybe something like that. Please, Krishna, purify my envy and help me to be actually appreciative. Therefore, it's good to offer some appreciation of another devotee from your heart. Not flattery, but appreciation, and then that will help. And do some service for that person. Aspire to develop their qualities. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Why were the three worlds trembling? Because Dhruva Maharaj was so heavy. And it's interesting, thank you for mentioning that. Prabhupada says in the purport that a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder. That's interesting, because that's a description of Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada struck the whole world with wonder by his activities. And he's still striking the world. And according to how much we're developing, following in his mood, according to his instructions, we will be striking the whole planet. This earth is meant to shake in the face of Krishna consciousness, so much so that the entire structure of the materialistic society will crash down due to the earthquake of Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, that's what will happen if we're doing our job. Not that we go around planting bombs, but the time bomb of Krishna consciousness, if we're making sure that's going off in our heart, then it will go off in the hearts of everyone else. And when they have these, and we're serious enough about following these, they will accept these, and they will also do the same thing. And it will spread like an infectious disease. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes, Manajin? Please. Is there a microphone? It's not working. Can you shout? Or come closer? Sorry, how is what?
Yeah, how is everybody in this age saying the realization of
We don't follow the same process as Dhruva Maharaj. We follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada in terms of Vaidhi and Sadhana Bhakti. And always being engaged in supporting the Sankirtan movement. That begins with our own self-realization in connection with Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if we're practicing to do that, avoiding offenses, then we will realize the anarthas that are blocking us. Then we will search until we find the association that can help us to transform that. That finding that quality association is absolutely essential. To find someone not only who is confidential and you trust, but is also qualified to guide you. And that may be many persons. And we should be like honeybees, looking for that nectar, looking for that association, and making sure that we are advancing as quickly as possible. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should advance rapidly to the stage of Madhyam. Rapidly. And that means taking full responsibility. Prabhupada says, human life is a life of responsibility. We should ultimately take responsibility for everything in our consciousness. I was talking to one devotee yesterday. He was saying that he thought that the acceptance of full responsibility is that's one of the important steps between taking us from Kanishtha to Madhyam. It doesn't depend on my circumstances. It doesn't depend on my mind. It doesn't depend on my money. It doesn't depend on my health. It doesn't depend on anything except my sincere application of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that in the Nectar of Devotion, there's nothing is required. There's nothing required for advancement in Bhakti Yoga, except one thing. It's not knowledge. It's not renunciation. It's, do you know what it is? Attitude, yes, of sincerity. Sincerity. Prabhupada said that's the only thing required. Sincerity. So, you try... I was giving a talk on the Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham verse. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I will support, maintain everything you have, and I will supply everything you don't have. So I condensed that a little bit in my own way. Krishna says, you do your best, I'll do the rest. That's all. You do your best, and you be honest about what that is. And we can always do better. I'm sure that hasn't answered your full question, but that's something. And I know devotees need to go to their service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimaya Purdam ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Gaur Premanandi.